Our next guest,
WMMR, is thrilled to the point of nausea to present me, Peter Torek.
That is the first time we've ever had a guest introduce himself. I'm impressed.
I just can't trust you guys.
You know, you're very perceptive. In just that short amount of time, you realize we're incompetent. That's very good.
It was a no-brainer.
I'm very excited to meet you,
Peter. Which runs right up my alley.
It works out well.
Yeah, no-brainer.
Not like mine.
I'm very excited to meet you. As many people in America, a fan of yours as a kid, and you still crank out great music, and you and your band are playing tonight at the Sellersville Theater.
Best name ever.
Shoe Suede Blues.
Shoe Suede Blues. Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
And how long has that band been together?
I don't even know for sure. Something like 13 or 14 years.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
A little bit more or less. And I can't possibly go on without letting you know that we do some songs from that group I used to belong to.
Yes. Yeah.
Which will remain anonymous.
Not for too long.
Monkeys Anonymous.
Monkeys Anonymous.
I tell you what.
I'm Peter. I'm a recovering monkey. I had a slip last summer.
Did you? You fell? Yeah, you got back on?
I was in the monkeys again last summer. Yes.
Our old program director. We worked at a modern rock station, and he was a big monkeys fan, and we all were because you'd have to sort of explain to people. No, there was a point when you guys were sort of able to let loose. You, a very accomplished musician, took the handles and were able to write your own stuff. And I was a big fan. I have my iPod has a load of monkey stuff on it.
Great.
You had to sort of fight through to get.
Yeah, we did. We took a lot of shellacking. I got really bent out of shape at the time, although I think it was a mistake now. I see why it had to be the way it was. We were making a TV show. That had to come first. Mm-hmm. And they were making albums. Turns out I didn't know how to make a record. I thought I did, but no. So they had to make the records for us for a couple of albums while we made the TV show. And then, you know, and we were on the road playing, you know, we were a cover band playing monkeys. Songs.
Yeah.
The four of us were a cover band playing.
But yet you were a musician
as was everybody else, really, one way or another. I mean, Davey was not an instrumentalist, but everybody else played.
Oh, one of your original songs I loved, which was You Just May Be the One. That's one
great
of my
song.
Favorite songs. Yep. I love that tune. So, I mean, the stuff that you guys wrote was great as well. You know?
Yeah, we had some pretty good tunes. The closing theme after the first year.
You wrote that.
I wrote that. Yeah. Pete's Sake, it's called.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of interesting. I got a girlfriend through that song. She said, "What was that chord?" And I told her, and she said, and her eyes got dreamy.
You dog.
That is, yeah.
Great song.
Excellent song. Well, we obviously want to touch on one of the most recent bits of news to come out of the camp of the monkeys was Davey passing away.
The passing of our dear.
We had spoke to him a couple of years ago because the Daily News here locally ran a sexy singles feature.
And he was in the list.
And he lived close enough to here to where they put him on the list. And it was really neat. And he was such a nice guy. And it blew us away, as did you, that he passed at this age. It's just too bad.
Yep. It was sad. I miss him. We're showing in the studio a picture of the two of us jamming together, cranking on the keyboard, and Josie's cranking on the tambourine. You know that David Letterman top 10 list had Davy Jones listed as among the top 10 tambourine players of all time at numbers 8 and 3.
8 and 3. it's an unsung hero of the music world. How many instruments do you play?
I count five.
You count five?
I can get noises and play some melodies on a lot of others, but that, you know, I wouldn't want to stand up on stage and try to jam on them or anything.
I saw you play banjo one time.
I do that.
That's a pretty
five string banjo is an early instrument of mine. Yeah, I got into the folk thing when I was a younger guy.
What are the five?
Pete Seeger things. Keyboards, guitar, five string banjo, bass and French horn.
Okay. Is the French horn? Yeah, wow. How did that work its way in there?
Well, that was my orchestral instrument. You know,
okay.
In high school, they said, "Well, learn a new instrument," and the teacher was a French horn player, and I always loved the sound.
Yeah.
So I've actually recently decided not to play the French horn anymore, just because I can't keep my lip up and practice my guitar and keep the band. You know, there's just too many chops.
You have to make concessions. Yeah,
I do. That's right. Compromises as the times weary on.
How difficult is it to play the banjo? I've heard it's a tough one to learn.
Well, there's a hump. Basically, there's a couple of initial things you have to get over, and after that, it gets easy. But, you know, it's the same as any other instrument. You play it 5 years, you'll be about five times as good as you were when you played it 1 year, and that's true of anything you take up.
I have to ask, in the beginning of the Monkees, was it Bob Rafelson who was
among those
who created? As the legend goes, we heard people like Stephen Stills auditioned, and do you know what role he was auditioning for, or was it just sort of a general thing?
Well, you know, I actually auditioned for the role of Mickey Dolenz and was rejected.
but there was a part left at the end of the auditioning,
and they let me have it.
I assume they were looking for types as opposed to just there was a character, because they weren't.
Not even that. They were looking for four guys who together made a gang that they could get, you know. I walked in there and I played the dummy right at the beginning, and they said, well, we want an offbeat guy. We've got three regular guys. We want an offbeat guy. Peter, do you mind being the offbeat guy?
Yeah.
I said, huh? Playing my part to the hilt.
Right.
So it was like that. You know, Mickey was the wild and crazy guy. He's such a freak. Wild hair. And Jonesy, the cute one. And then Nesmith, sort of a little more upright and dignified and, you know.
Yeah.
And they weighed all of the guys who got through the process. So there were eight of us at the end, and they weighed all of them and selected the
combination.
Yeah, combination. That's how they went about
Peter, was it Nesmith's idea to wear that toque, the stocking cap, or did they throw that on him?
I think he came in with it on, and they said, can you keep the hat on? He kept it on until he got sick of it.
Audition, in fact, there's the classic black and white footage of him coming in and sort of, I guess, just riffing dialogue. Yeah. So you, out of the gate, you know... It sort of takes off. Here you guys are musicians being told that you're not musicians. How long did it take before you were able to just finally say, okay, can we take a crack at it ourselves?
Two albums. Yeah, we had to get the first two out of the way. It became quite a bear when the second album, Don Kirshner, you know, throughout the second album, he was in charge of the music.
The legendary Don Kirshner.
He put the second album out, and we hadn't even heard it. We heard it first by going across the street and buying it at a JCPenney.
you had to buy your own album to hear it for the first time.
Wow. Right. Yeah. So that was a little disgusting, shall we say. Just a wee bit irksome. And that was the end. And we'd been playing. And here's the thing, you know, we were doing the pilot in 65, and there was a dance scene and everything felt quiet. And the four of us are sitting on a bandstand. We look behind the instrument, you know, we look at the amps. These amps live? Yeah. Click. And we just began to play like Johnny B. Goode, you know, and straight rock pop tunes, never having played together before, ever.
Ever.
Having played together before, and jamming and all the extras and everybody getting up and dancing around there, you know, teaching Mickey back, whack, 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 whack.
Yeah.
Mickey learned how to play drums 2-3 days previously.
Really?
And that's all there was to it, you know.
Huh.
And so, like, there was something about us as a gang of musicians.
Yeah. He just got off a train.
Yeah. He just got that worked from the start, from the very get go. And
was a lot of that the fact that you all liked each other, you all had that synergy.
Well, we had respect for each other as musicians, and I have to say that I liked and loved and respected each of them in different proportions.
Right. Sure.
And but the fact that, you know, it was obvious that Mickey was everybody's a very gifted guy. I'm often accused of, or I should say, praised as being the only musician in the group. But the truth is, I'm the only trained musician in the group. But I might be the last talent on the gang. I'm telling you, these guys are all
really
splendid. Yeah, they were all. Davy Jones, you hand him a guitar, put your fingers here, he could play that night.
Mm-hmm.
Davy just.
That's awesome.
He never dropped a stitch. Probably the best pitch and the best time among us. All that kind of thing, you know. So,
hey, we heard stories of, I know Jack Nicholson, I guess, either wrote the screenplay for the movie you guys did, Head.
Bob Rafelson and Jack Nicholson wrote and produced.
Did you become friends with Nicholson?
For a while, yeah.
Yeah.
For a little while. A little while afterwards, he came up the street and we grinned at each other and had a hug and sat down on a bench, and he started talking left. I started talking right, and we held hands. It was great.
that's how it worked, yeah. We heard some legendary things, too, about on set. I forget whose book or who described it, but kind of a certain, like a pit or like a thing you'd get into and to get away from production.
Oh,
and
you're thinking about the gray, the steel box.
They
gave us a refrigerated box. We could indulge in
cannabis?
cannabinoid related substances. And they had four lights on the wall, and when they wanted one of us, the appropriate light went on. Oh God, they want me now, man. I gotta go out there and do my act.
That's wild. Hey, very accommodating.
Peter, are you aware of some of the there are some kids shows that are out, like Big Time Rush, that are very monkey-esque, you know, singing groups and some comedy stuff.
Last thing I heard, there was a gang in a show called California Dreams.
That's years ago.
Yeah, there's a while, and I haven't seen a thing since then.
Since that, okay.
I watched Charlie Rose. MSNBC.
Right. So with the music, and people may be unfamiliar, describe what you're into besides
what I'm doing now.
Yeah,
I thought you'd never ask. Yeah. it's a sort of a mostly blues or a strongly blues influence. We do some straight, real, get down Chicago blues. We do some blues pop. We do some and we do some monkey songs with a blues tinge. We do Last Train to Clarksville, like Black Velvet, you know.
Really?
Take the last train to Clarksville, and I'll meet like that.
Right? Oh, cool.
It's real
cool.
Slow and grindy and oily.
Blues your favorite?
Blues, yeah.
Yeah.
It's always been my favorite. I just didn't think I could do it until 14 or 15 years ago. There's a couple of aspects to the blues. There's an actual skill set, you know, and the notes in the blues are not on the piano. They are elsewhere. They're somewhere in between, you know.
Right.
So I came up playing playing classical music on the piano, you know, and here comes a blues note.
Not a lot of French horn in the blues, right?
French horn in the blues either.
But a lot of bending of notes and stuff like that.
The bending of notes and all that kind of thing, you know. And then there's the cultural and social aspects of the blues. You can't ignore those things. And without that, there is no blues. And, you know, how did things get to... And the beat. You know, people... You think it's people think it's a triplet beat. You go, but if you do a straight triplet beat, you're doing like salsa marches. Dum da dum
right.
da dum da 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 da.
You got to swing it a little bit.
Very big difference. Yeah.
Preston's getting into, or just not. You're kind of going on a jazz.
Jazz is the only other music that shares the beat. Blues.
I'm a school musician. I'm a drummer, so I grew up in high school.
I thought that was a tumor sticking out of your back.
No.
Those are sticks, right? Those are drummer
sticks. Those are sticks.
Okay.
But yeah, so I know. Yeah, I absolutely. But yep. the idea of dragging behind the beat a little bit and shuffling and stuff.
I had to work it out on the computer. It turns out that the beat is on the money. It's the pickups are early that makes it sound like it's dragging.
Really?
Yep.
So interesting.
Yep. So check it out on your computer.
Now, do you do some recording at home? It's so easy to do now.
It is. Yeah, but you have to. It still is the truth that you cannot make a really good album if you don't have really good. Everything isn't really good. Where I'm at my house, I don't have really good sound. I mean, the room is not a good sounding room. So I do little light things with my voice right next to the mic, you know, so that the room doesn't enter into it. But you still, if you're going to make an album, you still better start off in a professional studio. Kathy, you talk too much.
I know. I'm actually just a little amazed. I don't know, just the whole legend of it and of you.
I know, yes, I am. It's true.
No, but honestly, really, we play this game on our iPod where, you know, we plug it in and you just see what comes up and we determine whether it's a good song or not. And because of, I guess it came up on yours a couple of times ago. I've downloaded
She's
a lot.
She's pointing to Preston. Yes.
A lot of your music
for the
now.
Visually impaired. On
I had, I had monkeys come up on.
You, yeah,
on
you
one
had
of
it come up, and
I think it was you. And you just may be the one. Was the song? That
and
came
I'm like,
up,
you know what? Yeah. I didn't have any at the time, and now I have it all on there.
Of the, do you see any pennies from that? Where, as she downloads some music off of iTunes from
I'm
the monkeys.
I'm sure that if the world were fair, I would. But no, iPod transfer. Well, you know the model is. Changing. I'm not fussy about that. There, one of my partners, you know, said, "What do you think about, you know, ripping off downloads?" He said, "Thieves, and robbers." And I go, "No. It's just the way the creature is built now. You know, we don't used to be record companies put the bands out on the road for a break even in order to sell records.
Yeah.
And now you make records in order to draw people into your shows.
It's completely. We were talking about this. Yeah. The dynamic is as reversed, where the money is going to be in the performance, and the album is in support of that.
That's right.
Yeah.
You need a little bit. You'd make a little, you know, a couple of hundred at a show from selling them as souvenirs. But basically, Yeah, basically, it's the other way around.
How many do you? Because I gotta imagine you are probably for many who were girls at the time, now adult women. Mm. You're probably a holy grail at some point. The Peter fans. Do you get out at your shows? Someone who says I've been waiting for this moment since. Yep. The NBA,
yeah, like you.
No, I don't get
no,
that.
I'm joking. Yeah. I'm joking.
They confuse me for you all the time.
Yeah, right. Some kids come up to me. I'm your biggest fan. I got them coming in at 300 pounds. but there's a lot, you know, and it's funny, you know, I've been doing this touring with the band and meet and greets afterwards in units of hundreds now, yeah. not thousands, which you can't do meet and greets. You have to do lotteries or special purchases and what have you. But at 100 or 200, 100 I can handle. 200 is too many. But I think I probably autographed every Monkees album that's ever been put out.
Really?
Wow. Just about, yes.
Some, and you probably see a lot of bootlegs and stuff too, right? I mean, there's...
No bootlegs.
No bootlegs? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
No.
You know what's wild, Peter, is I can imagine that you could, over the course of years, take a look at whoever the artist du jour is, the heartthrob du jour, right now, like a Justin Bieber, and seeing all these screaming girls going crazy, these appearances, and just go, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, right, yeah. And I didn't understand it at first, you know. I went to a Beatles concert, and the girls were screaming. I said, this is the greatest musical group of all time. Why aren't you listening?
Yeah.
And I really had to come to grips with it, and I finally figured out, you know, the little girl comes in, and the screen door slams, and her mother gives her a ration for it, you know, and says, shut up, and express yourself, and shut up, and the little girls are driving crazy, and at one place where they're allowed to give vent to the whole thing, they give vent to the whole thing, and that's what it's all about.
It's the process.
Speaking of the Beatles, were you as intimidated as one might be when you guys had the chance to early on in your career, as you were hitting, though, had a chance to have an audience with those guys?
Well, it's interesting. We met there was an arranged kind of function, and we got to hang out with them for an evening, and it was pretty easygoing. You know,
good.
It was, you know, Mickey, John Lennon, and George Harrison came in singing the Hare Krishna chant, only going Mickey, Mickey, Dolan's, 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 Mickey, Dolan's, Mickey, Dolan's.
Are you kidding?
No, yeah, and you know, so it was all very easygoing, and to this day, Mickey hangs with Paul and says, you know, what a great guy he is.
Oh, that's cool.
And then months later, I ran across John on the street and got tongue-tied.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Isn't that wild? Yeah, yeah, because... there's also the legend of you guys, you were the people who introduced, for the better part of the world, Jimi Hendrix.
Uh-huh.
Were there other musicians that came along the way that you were able, because you all seem to be into... being a conduit for good musicians.
Well, Mike had Zappa on the show.
Wow.
Zappa was on the Monkees show.
Don't remember that.
Yeah. I think, what was it? Mike put on a big fake nose, and it was interesting. Mike and Mike had, you know, beard and nose and was made up to look like Frank.
Yeah.
And next to Frank, he looked like a baby. I mean, Zappa was so fierce and driven,
yeah,
you know,
oh, yeah,
that Mike looked like a just, you know, all cuddly. And Zappa's wearing the skull cap, the wool hat and the monkey shirt.
That's funny. I mean, with that, with those big names, we, you know, you could tell you guys obviously were just music fans. You
yeah.
just
oh, yes. Absolutely.
Loved great
yeah,
musicians
yeah, yeah.
and music.
And I have to say, one of the things about the Monkees series as a whole was that one of the reasons that it flew was that the producers were Beatle fans, mm-hmm. which meant that they wanted to be part of all this. They weren't standing away chomping a cigar saying, the kids will love this.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
They
right?
wanted to be in it, and so they were into some of the important stuff. You know, when somebody comes from the outside and they looks outside, they just pick up on the most obvious details and run with it. It's never real. But these guys were part of it. They wanted to be.
The show holds up, and you can clearly see that they were influenced by Richard Lester, who directed mm-hmm. A Hard Day's Night and Help, and yep. then that staccato stuff. Pacing. Yeah, it's yeah. very cool.
The Lennon used to say, you know, well, they're not the Beatles, are they? They're the Marx Brothers,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
So there's something to that too, which brings up another point. You know, we got a lot of flack for the business of not making our own albums, but the Beatles and the Stones and you know, the Mamas and the Papas and people like that who were at the time top of their own respective genres, didn't give us any flack at all. It was the second-ranked guys who were giving us a hard time.
That's very wild. That's interesting. Yeah.
By the way, I just saw this text that came in. It says, I met Peter at the Galaxy in Summerdale years ago, and I ended up going home with him.
Oh.
No reaction from
who
Peter
is
Tork.
This guy?
Well,
did she sign her name?
She didn't. No,
no. Okay. Well,
her number's on the screen.
Yeah,
Peter,
yeah, we
so
do have her number.
Need to give a call. Yeah.
She wants you to come meet little Peter.
I'm being. I'm being a good boy these days.
Yes,
good man. Faithful and true. I am.
I love it. Peter Tork, thanks for being here.
God, what a pleasure. You guys are such a joy to work with.
Thank you.
And thanks, too, for the studio audience for not getting into the act.
Nice. All right, Peter Tork, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Stay there.
Get the whole Preston and Steve show at PrestonandSteve.com.